This guy is so starless. Baby, this guy is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, all right. Welcome back. Red Light Special, episode 10. Chris, can you believe it? 10 episodes in, man. This is amazing. Like,
still feels like the first, honestly.
Oh, really? Nah, it feels like the 10th one. I ain't gonna lie, man. We've been out this for a minute. I feel like we finally getting into our groove. Welcome to the Red Light Special. What you just heard was our theme song by Jake and Papa. It's called Starless. Shout to them, man, for blessing us. Like I said, before we had a podcast, we had a theme song courtesy of Jake and Papa, and they didn't have to do that. And that's love. So that's Starless, and that'll be out on their latest project coming in the fall, so check out for it. But what a week. Chris, how you been, man? You survived last week? I know we had that little Michael Jackson Prince debate, and I know your feelings might have been hurt a little bit, but
hey,
you okay?
Listen, I survived. I don't know about you, because it seems like the listeners kind of sided with me on this one.
It's still empty.
It's okay,
man,
to admit it, Rob. It's okay to admit it. I know you won the whole Jodeci and Boyz II Men debate,
I sure did.
But you know what? I'm gonna take the W on this one.
Listen,
feeling,
man,
like Drake out here.
That means you ain't write that whole monologue you just said, though. I'm the ghost rider. Nah, it's been a crazy week, though. What you been up to? Did you have a shoot this weekend or something?
I did. I actually shot my first swimwear shoot. So shout out to Sharifa. She's a friend of mine from way back. Actually, it was probably the first friend that I ever made when I moved to Long Island from Queens. So we've kind of kept in touch and stuck together, and she's designing swimwear now. And if you're on Instagram, it's at Niche Online. That's N-E-I-S-H online. It's Niche Swimwear, and they're pretty dope. Shout out to Justin for shooting the photos, and I'll probably have them up in like a week or two.
Great. All right, nah, that sounds cool.
What you been up to?
Me just hanging out. I was up at Dykeman on Saturday with the fam. Sway was coaching a basketball game up there, a street basketball game. So we went out to Dykeman and just hung out. Really
That's
quiet,
dope.
Though. Yeah, nah, it was dope. We had a lot of fun. And Sway's team won, so Coach Sway. It was the
of
Aku
course.
Summer Classic. So, yeah, I'm slipping. Shout out to the whole team at Aku Sabe and Isis. And they put on their Aku Summer Classic. DJs played each other in basketball, so like Clue was up there playing, DJ Absolute was up there, Superstar
J. I saw Just too was up there. I saw DJ Just.
Yeah, so it was cool. We had a good time. And then, you know, coming up this week too, I just want to shout out on Friday. You know, we was at the Apple Store for our Meet the Podcaster event. Shout out to Brian and Pablo and Carl Cherry and everybody at Apple that hooked that up, man. So much love. I'm going to be back at the Apple Store in Soho in New York City on Friday with rapper Sky Zoo. The homie Sky Zoo got a new album out called Music for My Friends. And we're going to do a Meet the Musician event, and I'm going to host the event. And he's going to perform, and I'm going to ask him some questions, get into his business. So,
okay, so you're moderating conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you what you were doing exactly.
Like, yeah, okay. So moderating conversation. So if you're in New York, if you're in Manhattan, if you're in Soho on Friday at 7 p.m., come check out me and Sky Zoo over at the Apple Store, man. It'll be a good time.
Dope.
And I'm so excited about this week. So much is going on this week in R&B. You want to start off? Your homeboy Tyrese just did something interesting on Instagram, right?
Tyrese is always doing something interesting on Instagram, I feel. He's always preaching. He's always kind of getting the people to connect and stuff. But he did put out a post today. I saw it earlier this week, actually. He said, if you could only listen to 3 albums for the rest of your life, what 3 albums would it be and why?
Okay. He not like R&B albums, just any albums?
That's all. He just said, what 3 albums? He didn't mention specifically, you know, R&B albums. I figured we would kind of talk about it and, you know, keep it into R&B, but we don't have to, you know.
Yeah, I got my 3 right off the bat. Notorious B.I.G., Life After Death.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite hip-hop album. One, because it's a double CD, ain't nothing whack on there. So it's really cheating because I just picked like 2 albums.
Right.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do Michael Jackson Off the Wall.
You had to put him
and,
in there.
Yeah, King Pop, baby.
See, you lose a debate, and that's how you just throw
King
a little...
Pop, Michael Jackson Off the Wall.
Okay.
And Mary J. Blige, My Life, and I'm good. What you got?
See, I would kind of stick to... If I go into hip-hop and rap, I don't feel like I could really choose just three, but for the R&B side, I chose Brandy Brandy and Baduism by Erykah Badu, just because every song on there, from On and On to Rimshot, you know, the skits on there, just the whole vibe, you know, that's just an incredible album, and Usher Confessions.
Ooh.
Just because if I had to listen to that album for the rest of my life, it's kind of like, I mean, he's saying three albums for the rest of your life. You could only listen to these three albums for the rest of your life.
I understand.
So it's like, I feel like those albums, especially Confessions, kind of gives you like from start to finish of a relationship.
Mm.
You know what I mean? How it goes from perfect and the beginning stage when everything's all good to the completely fucked up, just
right.
No going back.
Right. Yeah, nah, you know, I got a couple R&B in there, you know, off the wall pop R&B, little disco, right? My life. And, you know, Big just the best rapper. So, you know.
Of course.
And he writes
I would include Kanye West College Dropout on there, though. That's definitely like a, I would, yeah. Life that to me was like.
And Big writes his own rhymes. Word. Yo, something I seen that got me excited this week, too, actually last week was The Weeknd. Weeknd dropped this video for Can't Feel My Face, and we was in this Michael Jackson mode of discussion, and you know, the song obviously invokes a Michael Jackson type feeling, and the video did too. It was so dope to see The Weeknd, and I've been a fan of his. We talked about this so many times since the trilogy, and it was so dark and dreary and moody, and it felt good to see the brother smiling. He was doing his little Michael Jackson, Ronald McDonald step in the video, man. He, you know, burst into fire like the Human Torch. It feels good to see The Weeknd like having this pop moment. Like, I know some fans are kind of mad at it, but I'm like, I mean, you know, you can't be down in the pits for whatever. Like that music was really heavy.
Yeah.
On the first three mixtapes.
And I like to actually see him also. I mean, The Weeknd has gone from a person that we didn't even know with the face. You know, we didn't have a face to put to the music in the beginning for people who really listened to him before he got out. And now he's this person that, you know, he's showing up to movie premieres, doing interviews somewhat.
Barely.
And yeah, barely, but, you know, the video is all, you know, it's his face. It's in the brightness, too. You know, even when we saw his face on other videos when he was still in that kind of sultry vibe, it was very dark and it was in the shadow. And now you're seeing him in the limelight and it's just a whole brand new person. It's just incredible to see that progression.
Yeah, that's dope. And yeah, he did do the interview with the New York Times with John Caramonica. So it was cool to kind of hear his voice. And he talks a lot about the new album and working with Max Martin and stuff like that. So I think they really, he actually said, like, there was a quote where he was like, yo, this generation doesn't have a Michael Jackson, it doesn't have a Prince, and he really trying to fill that lane. Or Whitney. Good luck with that, bro. Like, I, you know, I think he could do it. I ain't even counting him out, but those are big, when you be like, yo, I want to be this generation's Michael Jackson or Prince or Whitney Houston, like.
But that, he is big, though. Everything that he drops,
sure.
His album, I would say, nobody else is selling out an album before it even drops the way he is. Like, his pre-order has got to be insane. Like, anything that he drops, any video he puts out, whatever, it could be like a 30-second home video of him explaining something, and I bet you it'll get more views than, I'm not going to name other artists, but
Michael,
you know,
Jackson had grown men fainting. Michael. So, you know, it's a different thing, but I look forward to what he's going to bring.
Yep.
Another thing I look forward to is our first guest of the evening. Our first guest.
And it's a female.
It's another female. Yo,
I'm
we
excited.
Went from not being able to get female guests up on this show, and we got another female up here. The energy is different when, like, I'm outnumbered now, when the men-to-woman ratio. But Ernest is actually here. I don't know if he's going
to
say what's up, but
yeah, shout
Ernest
out to
got
Ernest.
My back, man, so he's balancing out the energy. But my man Ernest is there's only one Ernest, listen. Yeah, man, my man Ernest Estimate, word up. But this young lady, man, she hails from Long Branch, New Jersey. That's the Jersey Shore for brothers like myself who don't know, because I'm from Brooklyn. We never went to the shore. The only show I seen was on MTV. Miss Audrey Rose, man, she's like killing the game right now. You know, I work at MTV. I feel like, and my TV is always on MTV Jams.
Right.
And I feel like every time I turn around, I see her video playing. She has That Love with Troy Ave, and Ice Cream with Remy Ma and Fetty Wap. And every time I turn around, I see this young lady. And my man Ernest hit me and was like, yo, you want to get on your podcast? And I'm like, I've been waiting. and he hooked it up, and she's here, Miss Audrey Rose. What's up?
Yes, what's up? I'm so happy to be here.
Oh man, I'm glad you're here too, man. Like, so you're from the shore?
Yeah, shore girl.
But you're not Italian. Everything that I learned from TV, right? this is what TV told me, that everybody from the shore is Italian.
And fist pumps.
And right.
Yeah, Guidos.
Yeah.
I fist pump, but I'm Puerto Rican.
Okay. That's what's up. So what's the shore really like then? Because now I'm getting like a whole thing. I'm going to go back to MTV. I'm going to go back to work tomorrow and be like, listen, we need to do a whole different Jersey Shore show, because what y'all showed me wasn't the whole picture.
That wasn't real. No, right. I'm kidding. We do have, that is true in a sense. But I mean, I love where I'm from. So I grew up in a small town. I mean, with everyone, all different kinds of races. It was a melting pot in my town. So
that's dope. And you actually, you're Puerto Rican and Dominican as well?
Damn. I know.
That's a mix.
Nation.
A little Listen. Crazy.
A little Jersey, a little Dominican.
Wait a minute. I am very glad that you said that right now, because I'm always saying that Puerto Rican people are crazy. Mm-hmm. And I always get the whole, no, we're not. And you're Puerto Rican and you're
You
Dominican.
Know what?
I love that.
I'm starting to just be honest with myself.
I love that.
Because I hate when people say Puerto Ricans are crazy.
Mm-hmm. But it's just lately, Puerto Rican women that are crazy.
Yeah. Lately, I'm like, you know what? I am. Who cares? Like,
embrace it.
Puerto Rican men are completely sane. It's just Puerto Rican.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm biting my tongue right now.
That's what's up. So, you have music.
Yeah.
Chapter One.
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. I was a little afraid of you when I just off of the title alone. I was like, man, this sounds like some gangster thing. Talk about Chapter One, Guns N' Roses, why you decided to choose that as a theme.
I mean, Guns N' Roses was my very first project. So I was anticipating that moment for the longest. So I wanted to drop something that kind of showed different sides to me. So, I mean, I have a really gritty side to myself, hard, dark side to me. And I also have a more feminine side, of course,
right.
Emotional, sensitive. So I wanted to give my fans a little bit of everything.
Right.
So I got some hard joints on there. I got some heartbreak on there. So I was really excited to drop that project.
That's cool.
Yeah, you sure do. I mean, that's the thing that kind of stood out to me the most. Like I said, my introduction to you was That Love. Troy Ave is the homie. Troy and Hovain, very good friends of mine. And so that was the introduction. And then I thought I knew you. and then I heard Ice Cream and I was like, okay. And I thought I seen the picture. But then I go deep into the project and I hear songs like Pretend.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear Bang. And I'm like, what? This ain't... Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was good to get the full picture. For those that haven't heard, I just want to play a little bit. Because, you know, here on the Red Light Special, we don't want to get sued. And even though Audrey's a nice person, whoever owns her publishing might not be so forgiving. But let's play a little bit of That Love, man.
Let's get into it.
This is the feature presentation. I made you. Yeah. Audrey Bowles. You were all I wanted, never got much in return. Take a second to think who held you down, baby, at your worst. Could you love me? Could you love me? Oh, how it hurts to see you with someone when I was the one who made you who you are. I work for love.
Man, that sound all right.
I love that record. Being from Jersey, though, how did you hook up with Troy after that one?
Well, good relationships. I work with DJ Suss 1.
Okay.
So Suss and I.
The feature presentation.
Suss and I met last May. And since meeting, we've just been so excited about this whole movement. So like I said, he has great relationships. So I'm really appreciative of that. And Troy was like, you know, that's when Troy was just coming out. So,
right.
And he did his thing on that record. And it just gives me such a, like, an old school feel. I'm a 90s head. So okay.
That's what I told Rob.
You know, we had a classic sample. So mm-hmm. It was just dope.
Nah, that's dope. So you got Troy on the mixtape. And on Breakfast and Dresses, you also got Manola Rose. Do those two tracks fight each other? Do they hate each other?
No. I mean, you know, they're different. They're different. Right. But Manola did his thing on Breakfast and Dresses. We actually just got done shooting that video. So I'm really excited to drop that. So.
That's cool. You know, Troy and Manola don't exactly get along. Ba-doom-boom.
Do they not?
Yeah.
She didn't know.
You know what?
I didn't know that.
Media train. I like that shit. What? Oh my God. That's great. Don't answer that. That's dope. You know, you mentioned being a 90s head, and me and Chris. Chris is a huge, huge Brandy fan. So we were listening to this separate. We send each other the project. I forgot who sent who the project. We're like, man, we should listen to it. So we listened to it in our own time, and then texting each other back. Yo, did you hear this? And then Chris picked up on something on Pretend.
Right? Very smart. Because a lot of people are like, I don't know. I'm like, do you know? They're like, no.
Well, explain the record, first of all, what it's about and how you got influenced to do that by Brandy.
Okay. Well, first, when I heard, first of all, Broken Hearted is my song.
Okay. Broken Hearted by Brandy.
Of course.
Okay.
So.
And Wanye, let's not forget.
I love a good melody. Mm-hmm. And I loved that melody on the hook. And I thought, hey, it's like, why not, you know, flip it a little and put it into this record. And at that moment, you know, we built this from scratch, that beat. And I was like, that's how I was feeling. I was feeling like a little brokenhearted from a past relationship.
Yeah, now you gotta say it. What's his name?
Yeah, right.
Oh, no. He don't get all that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna give him that kind of attention and shine.
What's his name? No. So, like I said, that's one of my favorite records. So I was like, yo, let's use this.
Let's play a little bit of Pretend. Because it's cool, because it's subtle. It definitely has the melody. The beat is not a sample.
Yeah.
But the melody, so it's like reminiscent of.
Right, because you hear the melody. Just go ahead and play it, because you're going to hear a little bit of it in there, but it's not actually like the whole beat.
Damn, Chris caught that.
So he just cut it off like it was nothing? Where they do that at, Audrey?
Actually, I'm the detached one, so I gotta point the finger somewhere.
It happens.
That's a dope record, man. Like that definitely, like, you know, and it's funny because, like I said, I kind of judged you from the singles and thought I knew you, and I feel like actually records like Pretend really define what the project is, and you know, I think those are the records that are going to keep us coming back.
Right.
You know, so, you know, kudos for that. What's your process like in terms of creating and writing? Like you said, you made the beat from scratch and you write your own material, or do you work with writers?
Yeah, I mean, we're in-house right now. So it's just my producer and I, Shy Boogs. And Man, we just get in a studio and we build. I mean, we work with two other producers as well. But as far as writing goes, it's just me and my producer. And he's super talented. We vibe off each other. As vocal arrangements go, harmonies. And the build is the best. Like, sometimes I don't like just getting records, you know. I like to be there from... We could start with a piano or some strings and build, but I like to be there because it helps me get in a vibe, like, you know what I mean? As right. opposed to just getting a beat and like trying to feel a certain kind of way. So the build is just, I need the build.
Right. That's awesome. That's
Do you play instruments?
No. I used to play the trumpet. but no, my voice is my instrument.
At what point did you discover your voice? When did you decide that singing was going to be your thing?
Well, I've always known I can sing. It wasn't until seventh grade I kind of auditioned for this Black History Month show that a teacher from my hometown would always like put together. And I'm sorry, not always, but that was actually the first year. So I go and I auditioned and I got a role to sing Alicia Keys' Fallen. That's when she just came out. And I thought I was Alicia. Like people in my town would actually call me Lil Alicia. I would get my hair braided to the front like her, everything. So I did my first show and that was the first time I performed in front of people. And the reaction that I got from the audience was kind of like, it was like a thrill, and I just wanted to keep doing it. So from there, that's when I started to get into acting, and I continued to do these shows and talent shows, and that's what I wanted to do. That's when I knew I wanted to pursue music, because prior to that, I thought I was going to be Florence Griffith Joyner. I ran track, so I was like, I'm going to be Wilma Rudolph. So, yeah, I mean...
Funny how life works out.
It is funny That's how life crazy. Works out.
Alicia Keys' Fallen.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of my favorite songs.
Is it really? It's still one of my favorite songs. Okay. Songs A Minor is still one of my favorite albums. Right.
That's probably my favorite Alicia Keys. The Alicia Keys with the braid. Like, before, like, she became refined, well, you could still tell she was, like, just a New York chick.
Yeah.
Was, like, the best Alicia Keys to me. You know what I mean? But, that's my favorite
album.
If you wanted to sing that song right now, I wouldn't be mad at you.
Yeah.
Right?
I wouldn't stop you.
Putting you on the spot right now.
We are all good. If you want to hear it, yeah.
Listen, we would love to hear it if you're done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, serious.
I keep on falling in. And love with you. Sometimes I love you, baby. Sometimes I feel blue. Sometimes I feel good. At times I feel used. Loving you, darling, makes me so confused.
All right. Whoa, yo, first of all, I wish y'all could see what just happened, because Audrey walked in here with her hair in a bun, and as she started singing that song, her hair came down and started braiding itself.
These
right?
Hirachis turned into some lace stockings.
Yo, that was amazing. Like,
see, I love that you're not afraid to just let it out and just sing, because that's one of the things. We had Melanie Fiona come on the show, and that's one of the things that I love. First of all, that the female artists are coming on here singing, and you can sing.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Like, there's artists that are out, and it's all the way that it's mixed, and, you know.
Yeah.
That sounds
You can
amazing.
Sing, and yeah. I love that.
Mac Wiles ain't come up here and sing, Mac.
Step your game up, Mac. No, just kidding.
Yo, bro, gonna kill me. Nah, that was dope.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I love singing. I just love vocals. I go to vocal class right over here in Midtown, so like,
oh, yeah.
I feel exercised.
That's dope, man. Audrey Rose, you got the name has like meaning for you, because that's not actually your birth name, right?
No.
That's your mother's name.
That's my mom's name, actually.
You want to explain the story a little
bit? My name's actually, it's Natalie.
Okay.
My mother's name was Audrey, and almost 7 years ago now, I had met Shy, my producer, and I would go by Natalie Marie, And I wanted something to stand out a little more, with a little more meaning. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to carry on my mother's name. My mom passed when I was 5. So we actually Googled Audrey Rose because I felt Rose kind of went with Audrey. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a thriller popped up from 1970s and it was called Audrey Rose. So I'm like, what's this about? Look it up. And like, they're talking about like this girl who dies and she's reincarnated. So it was a really freaky movie. Mm-hmm. But I thought in relation to my life, I just thought it was really weird that my mother's name was Audrey. And my mom passed when I was young, and somewhat I do feel like I'm living through her, you right. know? So, Audrey Rose, baby.
I love that.
That's dope, man. Like, it definitely just has one of those names that, it's one of those names that you don't forget. It's a very, R&B name. Like,
it is.
And then, so you think about it, you're like, oh, that's great. Like, I just assumed that was your name, but then when I found out the actual meaning behind it, like, I think that layer of it actually just makes it even more special.
Absolutely.
So, nah, that's super beautiful. Dope. Yeah, man. Back to this tape. My favorite track probably on the tape. Because I love when people, especially artists, say things that we don't think they're supposed to say. Or, you know, Bang is a record that, I mean, we kind of thought, you know, especially like in music, like, it might not be very ladylike to say some of the things that you're saying on Bang, but you come out and say it so freely. And talk about creating a record like that.
Well, when we made that record, I was feeling sexy. And being that I was feeling sexy, I mean, I'm a 26-year-old woman. I'm very comfortable in my skin. And I think, you know, sex is sex. Like, there should be no reason to be, like, you know, afraid to talk about it. And I wanted to do something sexy.
Right.
And so you can, you know.
What's your sign?
I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, February?
January 31st.
January 31st. Yeah. I was going to label you a Scorpio, but.
Really? Oh, man. I've never got that before.
Ernest is a Scorpio. Shout out to him. Scorpio's in the room. Me too.
Yeah, y'all nasty.
No. Listen, it's okay to talk about it.
You're a Scorpio? Oh, my God.
It's all right. Yo, was it your virgin, bro?
No, but
it almost happened at the yacht party too. It almost happened at the VS yacht party. Ernest is saving himself for marriage. Smart man. Yo, let's hear some of Bang, because this is actually like, and yo, we have it's so dope, because I feel like when we share music, our listeners hit us back and we end up on Twitter having these conversations, mainly with Chris, because she's a beast on Twitter. Like, I'll check in every 5 hours or something. But I want to know what you guys think, actually, out there of this song Bang, because this is like actually my favorite song on the album.
Sonic and that vodka got me going. That bass and 808 got me flowing. Blowing on that loud got me floating. Yeah, she open. How bad do you want it? Show me that you own it. No slow shit, real drill shit. Some shit a bitch can feel shit. And no talk straight business. Fuck being submissive.
It's feeling bossy.
That's all y'all get. Y'all got to go to her SoundCloud, right? I am Audrey Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Is this on iTunes as well?
Yeah.
Okay, no, so you guys got to go. Don't go to the SoundCloud. You're going to go to iTunes.
And download and that chapter on bread. Guns N' Roses.
Bang. Okay, so when you record a song like this, it sounds like an extremely kind of private song. Mm. Do you have to clear the room?
You know
can
what?
Can you do it with the producers in the room?
I'm it's usually just me and my producer when when we work. I don't really like, I feel like I can't get in my zone if I have company.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the men usually like take charge, you know, like R. Kelly, 12 Play. Like he's like demanding, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of wanted to take the floor for the ladies, you know?
Right.
Now, it sounded very 50 Shades of Grey-ish. Right. That's what I loved about it.
Dominatrix.
Yeah. And even you say something about submitting, you know, it's like, listen, you got to be open when it comes to that.
So. Yeah.
Nah, that's what's up. Nah, it definitely sounds she said R. Kelly. Wow. Yeah, it's a little R. Kelly. Shout out to R. Kelly too, man.
Yes.
R. Kelly was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Nice.
So it was like, we doing something. He might have been sitting in the chair that she's sitting in right now. So we got something going over here, man.
Yep.
R. Kelly and Audrey Rose.
Yep.
I saw in an interview actually you did with the homie Rose D.
Okay.
From This Is 50. Shout out to her, shout out to the whole team at This Is 50.
Hey Rose.
Tony Braxton.
Mm-hmm.
You have a real kind of, she inspires you in some ways, right?
Yeah.
Talk about Tony Braxton.
Tony reminds me of my mother.
Mm.
So, you know, being that my mom passed when I was young, I, you know, face recognition is kind of hard when you're young. So I always felt like she resembled my mom.
Hmm.
So I just automatically gravitated to her. And that was when Breathe Again was out.
Wow.
And that's still one of my favorite songs. But I just always loved Toni. She kind of made me feel like, because my mom was a fan of Toni.
Hmm.
So like, I just felt like that was the closest thing, you know? I mean, until this day, I still listen to Toni. She's freaking Toni.
Yeah, man.
I love Toni Braxton. Like, how can you not love her?
And that was short hair.
She's
Toni.
So humble. Like,
I'm like her sisters. Damn. You watch that show?
I don't.
I sometimes I caught it. Yeah.
Shout out to Tamar. Not that.
But she performed. She had that crazy eye thing going on when she performed at some of the award shows recently.
Oh, I had to be BET or something.
Tamar Braxton. She looked all crazy. I mean, she could sing.
Well, she always looked kind of crazy.
She does. She has that crazy look in her eyes.
I like Audrey because she's like, I may have to work with these people or run into them, so I'm not commenting or saying anything. You guys, I'm not falling for the trap. That's amazing. That's exactly the way it should be. Don't fall for the trap ever. So Sus One, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you hooked up with Sus One. I didn't realize until I kept hearing you shout out for each of your presentation on the chat, and I was like, hey, that's Sus One's, and I was like, oh, you guys must be in cahoots.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of plans do you guys got? You guys met about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and so far we got this dope mixtape.
Right.
What's the plan? What are we building here?
Well, Sus is just awesome, man. His work ethic is just amazing. I just always try to match him. And it's just dope to meet someone who believes in you. And my producer as well. So we formed this little team and we're just trying to win. Like, I mean, the main focus right now is just to continue to build and put out as much content as possible. I mean, I'm not signed to a label, so kind of like an artist development.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm constantly in vocals and dance and just trying to perfect my craft as much as possible.
I love that you study, like, on your own time, that you go to dance. You said you also take music lessons,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I go to voice lessons. Craig Deary, he's, like, awesome. A lot of singers, like, know him. But, because, you know, when I got back in the studio, you know, it's an instrument. Like, it's just like an athlete on the court. You know, you don't ever see a basketball player just jump on the court, you know, without practice, you know? So, and I was out the loop for a while. So since being back in vocals for the last few months, like, it's really helped. And I didn't grow up a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's, why not? I don't want to limit myself. So
that's awesome.
I was going to ask you that because obviously you have a love for singing, mm-hmm. and you have a beautiful voice. But then there's the whole entertainment, mm-hmm. aspect of it, and that's where the dancing comes in. How do you balance the two? Like, do you feel, because I feel like there's still a lot of singers who sing and don't necessarily have to dance, and, right. and that's fine. And then some, you know, try to tie it together with the total package.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to not try. So if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, but I don't want to just say, no, like, I'm not going to dance. Because if I have to, I want to be like, yeah, like, I got this, you know?
A song like Bang, you might want to perform
yeah,
and do a dance.
Yeah, shoot, I got to do a little something when I do mm-hmm. that video, so.
I don't even yeah. want to know. You doing a video for that?
I'm doing a video for that, yeah. So.
I'll be waiting on it.
I'm not. That sounds like trouble. Oh, I like the song. We just keep it a song, man. He ain't going to get me in trouble out here. Nah, no, I'm not. I got two kids, bro. I can't be a virgin. You seen my boys. Come on, man. Ernest in here cracking jokes. And you said you're unsigned now. Do you want to be signed? Is independent a wave now? It kind of seems like a lot of artists these days are opting for independence. Like,
I just feel like I'm humbled by the progress that we've been making without having a deal. I just want to continue to build, and I feel like everything is about timing, and the right situation will happen. So
are you into writing for other artists as well, or?
I am. I'm just really trying to focus on my projects right now.
Okay, nah, that's mm-hmm. dope. But if
the situation came up.
Yeah, if Beyonce came and said, you know,
then I'm gonna have to cancel my session.
You know that song Bang, if you could just take it off of iTunes, cancel your SoundCloud.
Oh my God, that would be crazy.
Did I tell you, Chris, I was with Beyonce about 2 weeks ago?
Hell no, you ain't telling me. Why did you tell Beyonce?
I can't tell you where or how.
I said
or
when.
It was about 2 weeks ago. I was shout out to Beyonce, man. That shit was cool. I was in the studio somewhere, and Beyonce just walked in. I can't say who and
how beautiful did she look? Because I've seen her in person once.
She looked actually the same.
Right?
She looked just like how she looked on TV. So.
I saw her at the Jay concert, and she was just glowing yeah. like.
But
Beyonce in the flesh.
Beyonce, I was in Beyonce's presence.
She has like a fan just that walks around with her. It's not an actual fan, yeah. but it's Jesus.
It's
like,
aura.
Just
it's called aura. Yeah. Baby Jesus. Baby Jesus. And she's going to be on the podcast. And I was like, hey, babe. Like,
hey, babe.
You gonna come through this podcast, this Red Light special? So she said, yeah. So
dope.
Yeah. Nah.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
We getting there, though. We getting there. We getting there. Oh, we getting there. We getting there. She was like, R. Kelly, Beyonce, Audrey Rose, y'all is popping.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so R. Kelly was on it. That we weren't lying about.
Oh, my God. Beyonce going to come up here, too. I guarantee you. Yeah. We're going to get that to work. Another thing that you do that I really enjoy is your acoustic covers. Like, you do this thing. I love, like, juxtapositions. And you took Future,
mm-hmm.
Trap Niggas,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, the turn up. You know, I feel a certain way, and you just Audrey Rose it in.
I love hip hop. I love hip hop. I have a ratchet side to me, and a trap side. You think I was trapping my whole life. And I thought, like, that song makes me feel awesome when it drops. So I thought it would be kind of fun to flip it. And I did the same thing to Schoolboy Q's studio.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I mean, you got to have fun with it.
That's what's up. Nah, you definitely have fun. Is this a series? I feel like this could be its own project within itself. Are you just remixing rap records?
It could possibly.
And I love acoustic covers because, yeah. first of all, you make it your own. It's kind of like when you sample something. And
right.
Even when you did the whole Brandy thing and you just heard the melody in there. You said you love melodies. It's a vibe. But the acoustic covers really, like, some people do it, like, perfectly just in their own voice, mm-hmm. but, like, exactly the same as the mm-hmm. original. And that's mm-hmm. kind of, like, boring.
Mm-hmm.
But when you make it your own, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah. You almost forget it's Future's song.
Right.
Right.
You're like, damn, Audrey, trap niggas.
Nah. I'm with it. All right. Anything else? What's next for you now? You got a couple videos coming out. Like, what can we
expect?
Yeah,
we're just trying to put out as much content as possible. We just did Breakfast and Dresses video. We have a few more videos about to drop. Well, I'm just working on a new project. I just want to keep throwing things out. So that's all. I just want to keep creating and putting out content. It's a build, and I'm really excited to
see. We're going to need some fall music from you, by the way. So.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a holiday. Mm-hmm. A holiday bang special, you know?
Right. See?
She's trying.
But, Chapter 1, Guns N' Roses, everywhere. Right.
Great.
Now, so
on iTunes, it's everywhere. But you want to go to iTunes and get it.
You definitely want to go to iTunes.
Your computer's gonna blow up. Your iPhone's gonna blow up.
It's gonna get a bug. You don't want to get a bug.
So go to iTunes and cop that. Audrey, I thank you for being the guest here.
No, thank you.
Red Light Special. I look forward to having you back. I look forward to seeing where your career goes. Like I said, we had R. Kelly 2 weeks ago, and I mean that's R. Kelly, but the dope thing of what we're trying to build here is a home for all artists, R&B artists, the ones that the R. Kellys and the new R. Kellys, the Tony Braxtons and the new Tony Braxtons, like the Audrey Roses, and it's kind of a home for everybody. Like if you love music and really passionate about what you do, like come through to the Red Light Special, because chances are we're gonna love you too.
Right. And I love doing this because I feel like you're just like a flower just blooming. Like you have this incredible voice.
Thank you.
You have this incredible energy. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
You're young. You're talented. Oh, by the way, for anybody that wants to follow you on Twitter, Instagram, whatever you're on.
Twitter, Audrey R Music, Instagram, I am Audrey Rose. My website, I am Audrey Rose, SoundCloud, I am Audrey Rose. So make sure you definitely follow up. I'm always doing something.
That's a bet. All right, cool. So Audrey Rose, thank you for coming to the Red Light Special. And we'll be right back with our next guest.
Audrey Rose. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, too bad, so sad. I thought that you could handle it. Call feelings and run away. Now I know who I'm dealing with. You took a U-turn. Baby, changed up. When did you turn? All up in my face, you talk a good game. You should really do your research. And I know you only want me cause it's June. If it wasn't for these boom boom shorts, you'd hate my attitude. You would say, why you act like that? Why you gotta act like that? You could leave, I know you're coming right back. Like you ain't really mean it. Top down, we take the scene it. Mean it, I know you didn't mean it. You could leave, I know you're coming right back. You ain't gotta worry about love, cause that ain't what we're here for. Summertime fine, do the thing one time. You say it's just a fling, boy, you sure? Hey, but you tried me. Now you're in too deep. If you wanna swim good, baby, you know where to find me. Find me. But you're playing too cool. It's a new day, time for new groove.
Chris, you like that one?
I do like that one. Listen, we're in summertime. It's got a good groove. It's got a little hip to it. It's got a good friend of ours on it.
Okay, yeah. Well, listen, I'm glad you like that one. I love that one. That's called Act Like That. And we actually have Miss Act Like That in the studio with us. Her new EP, Summer... Wait. What is it?
The Summer of 17.
Summer of 17 is the new EP. Summer of 17 is out today on iTunes. And that's why we have with us Miss Bridget Kelly.
What's going on, guys?
BK,
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God,
this is so special.
Thank you for coming. I don't know if you, because me and Bridget are Twitter friends.
Yes, we are.
And which means friends in real life. I interviewed you once or twice on a red carpet. I didn't know if you remember.
Absolutely, it was a long time ago though.
I feel like we were at the 40/40.
Yep.
And Bridget came across the red carpet and I interviewed her for MTV.
Yeah.
And now we're here, and I always, we talked about you coming on this podcast. I said, hey, I'm about to start this podcast. And
I was like, anything you need from me, I'm there.
She sure did.
Yeah.
And here she is. Summer of 17.
Yes.
EP, congratulations. That's
Thank
out.
You.
Is it Summer of 17 or just Summer 17?
Summer of 17.
Summer of 17. Okay.
Yeah. It's basically the theme of it is, because I'm 29 now, right? When I was 17, everybody was prepping for college, and there's all this like society imposed pressure to be an adult and be responsible and do all that. And now I'm 29, and I feel like you know, I have homegirls that are counting their eggs and trying to get married. And, you know what I mean? I'm a late bloomer. I'm always behind. So I feel like, you know, all my friends at 29 are now trying to get married and get chose. And I'm still popping bottles in the club on a Wednesday. I forget that people have real jobs and responsibilities. And, you know, at 17, I was having fun. And at 29, I'm having fun. I mean, the cover art is my high school yearbook picture. So
what?
Oh, that's wow.
Yeah. That's so super. That's why
I take a second look now.
It definitely that was such a crazy time in my life. But I was having the most fun, and I feel like now I'm having just the same amount of fun, and I'm not ready to settle down. I'm not ready to, you know, to take myself too seriously as an artist or as a person. So
right now, see, I thought at first I didn't quite understand what Summer of 17 was. Mm-hmm. I was like, is she looking forward to 2000? What's going to happen? Is it right. going to be like? You know,
I know somebody else asked me, they were like, is this futuristic? Yeah. Right. Talking about what you want in the future. I was like, right. Nah, this is absolutely just fun, like just upbeat, carefree kind of songs. And for the most part, I mean, the only other two projects I put out were really like intense and emotional and melancholy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do R&B music. So it's like by default, that's kind of, you know, those are the prerequisites to be an R&B singer. You have to be love scorned. You have to be like
heartbroken.
You have to be heartbroken, a little depressed. And, you know, a lot of my music has been about that. So this EP was, you know, themed and based around trying to do something a little more lighthearted. You know, and it sounds different for me. I mean, it's a little more soul pop than it is, you know, sad R&B. So, I mean, the album that I started, All or Nothing, is still in production, and the majority of that is, you know, sad and depressing. It's what I went through, you know, it's all encompassing. But this EP was just really just a couple songs just to have fun to, just, you know, we shot the video the other day in Brooklyn, and it was a backyard barbecue. It was great. It's crazy. Turned up. It was, you know, it's fun. It represents to me what summer felt like when I was 17. I feel like I'm back there. You know what I mean?
Okay. Right. I wish my 17-year-old summer would come back, like,
right?
Because, like, I remember I was fresh out of high school. Yo, I could make $20 last the whole week
right,
in New York
yeah.
City for
Yo,
a summer.
Are you kidding? You could unlimited. You already had your unlimited Metro card. You were straight to go. Like, you were fine.
I don't know how these kids do it now, man. They just do it on 20. Yo, we could go to the movies
we
one time.
We had Nextels. It was a doo-doo-doo-doo. The shirt playing. Yeah.
Sure did. Nah.
I used to hate those.
You ain't
oh, my God. I love those.
I never had one.
I had the Nextel that had all the flashing lights, too. It was doing a lot. Because I didn't do the sidekick. I wasn't the sidekick person. I always had a Nextel. But it was like, it was a joint, the big joint that used to light up. And then, do you know, people would alert you in the middle of wherever you were at on speakerphone.
You kind of got me, though. I'm a little bit older than you. So I definitely had a
did
beeper
have,
when
you
I
had
was
a,
17.
Had a,
I might have had two.
But you
beepers.
Know what? I feel like nowadays because we're all so socially retarded because of smartphones. Mm-hmm. I feel like if we went back, we almost need to go back to beepers to encourage human contact.
Right.
Like people don't know how to communicate anymore. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Absolutely right. I mean, we used to like text each other like with beepers. Damn, this is gonna sound so old school.
Wait, you gotta explain.
Like, we're reminiscing. I don't know anything about beepers. So
like,
you're gonna
you couldn't text ones came out. So you like you can be like, yo, hi boo. It was a code. You had to do like 14800 or something.
Oh,
and
the number
it upside
thing.
Down.
See, we used to do those like, with the calculators.
Yeah.
Do you ever remember with
oh,
the calculators?
Oh yeah, we used to say hello.
Yeah,
and,
used to play around.
You know what I mean? 4, 3, 7.
I had my mom's beeper, like a broken beeper that didn't work. Like when she had beepers, that's the only beeper I ever knew. But it wasn't connected, and I wasn't using it. So yeah.
And then, it used to beep. You know, your girl 69 and you thought she was doing something, but we actually wasn't doing that.
It's the simple thing. Like, it's the simple thing. It's the thought that counts.
Because we actually were not doing that at 17 years old.
Hilarious.
But
I love that though. So this EP is going to be something like kind of like a reminiscing vibe on.
Yeah. There's a little reggae vibe to it. It just, I wanted it to be, it's my first independent project that I'm putting out. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted it to be really far from the other stuff that I've put out. And then B, I really wanted to give people a side of me they hadn't seen yet. And I feel like that's the one thing that was really missing from all the other projects was like, yeah, you get to see this emotional, deep, you know, abstract. But I also felt like it made me come off really serious and a lot older. And it's like the last year or so I've been hosting, you know, TV a lot more, and then people get to see the personality more so. And I feel like, well, this music, at least people will get to see that, you know, I'm fun. I'm the girl that you want to hang out with. You know what I mean? I'm going to take shots at the bar with you. I'm going to want to watch football and play beer pong. Like, I'm that girl. So
I kind of felt like we were gonna go see Avengers together. Avengers 2. So, I mean, one time she was like, "Yo, what's up with Avengers 2?"
I know, I went by myself, but I go to all those. I mean, I go to movies by myself because people, I talk too much, so I don't want to. I can't go with people.
Wait, you talk during the movie?
Absolutely.
Oh, I would hate.
Oh
you.
My God, you would absolutely you. Listen. Somebody threw popcorn at me one time because I was doing the most, and I felt bad because I was talking.
Sometimes you gotta throw popcorn.
You know what it was Paranormal right. Activity. That's what I went to see, and I was free. I don't know why I did it to myself because I'm not good with scary movies. I'm free and I'm sitting in my seat like, oh my god, and the little girl was like, shut up, and threw popcorn. I was like, okay.
in the theater.
Oh my god. But I didn't realize, like, I don't think about it. I'm so used to being, I spend a lot of time by myself, so I'm so used to just, I talk to myself when I'm by myself. It's ridiculous.
That's amazing. I went to the movies for the first time by myself
for the first last time week. Really?
Yeah. I got two kids. I'm always around somebody. Like,
oh yeah.
But I locked myself out the house and I was like, shit, I don't
you
have
no choice.
You're like, some you don't time to kill. And waste time.
So yes. I wanted to go see Southpaw.
Was it good? Did you like it?
It was cool. I liked it, but it don't take much with me.
Okay.
Like, I'm simple. Like,
me too.
It wasn't like great. It was like Jake Gyllenhaal, I thought was dope. They said Eminem was supposed to play that role as a boxer. And salute to Em. I'm glad he didn't, because I would have just been like the whole time watching, oh, that's Eminem, and not seeing the character.
Right.
But nah, it was pretty good. It was cool.
Good.
I liked it. Yeah.
I gotta see it.
Why not? But yes, Act Like That.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, one of the things I like about this record, because it gives me a vibe that I didn't get in a long time, is real, like, a battle of the sexes.
Mm-hmm. Very
almost
much so.
Like, you know, used to get that, like, Positive K and Father MC, and you had all these, you know, what's the 411, what's your man got to do with me, all
exactly.
these battle of the sexes type records, and we hadn't got one. And you and Mac kind of, it's not vicious, but y'all kind of going at it, trying to one up each other.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's playful and feisty in a way, and kind of like, but you kind of also, you kind of like throw it back in one point. It's kind of like you're kind of saying, like, why you gotta act like that, and you only like me because my poom poom shorts, you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, but it's also playful, and it's kind of like you said, you know, you shot the video, and the video is going to explain the video, what it's going to, you know.
So basically,
doesn't too much, but
the concept of the video, we wanted it to feel like a real New York summer day, like a New York summer party scene. So we shut down the block. I mean, the only thing we didn't really do was open a pump. I wanted to, but I was like, I don't really want to pay that fine if we get caught. So, you know, we
that's that independent bush. Now you gotta be mindful of what that's
the way the bank account is set up. I'm not ready for that summons. So, no, I definitely, we both, you know, talked about wanting to do something that is, you know, quintessential New York kind of moment, because there's nothing, nobody is really putting on for New York right now in that kind of spectrum. So we both kind of felt like, you know what, let's show them what we do. Like, we post up, we on the stoop, we on the corner, we in the backyard, we chilling, we take, you know, we basically took over the block in Brooklyn. So we had a really great time. The whole idea is just, you know, him and I going back and forth, the bickering, the bantering, and then, you know, we both end up at this party, and he's with his guys and I'm with my girls, and we're like, you can't talk to us. Like, it's it's really cute, it's sexy, it's flirty, and overall, for me, it's very telling of, you know, again, where I was when I was 17. It's like, you know, as a chick, you're just expected to be this vulnerable kind of emotional girl that just follows. When she likes a guy, she kind of just chases after him, or vice versa. And, you know, I liked it, you know, when we wrote this, that it was about having pride. Like, girls have, we got egos and pride too. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna back down. I'm gonna front. Let's see who can front the longest. Let's see who could hold out and be tough the longest.
I might be the queen of pride and
oh, girl.
And ego.
You gonna
and
be both. Ego. I still struggle with it. Who's gonna text? Like, I'm gonna wait for him to text me. I'm not gonna text him first. I still do that. Like,
I've learned to be the one to approach first now, but I won't double approach.
Right.
So if I hit no you repeat. And you haven't hit me back in like 2 days, I'm not gonna hit you a second time. Like, that's that. I'm gonna leave it there.
Oh yeah, no, I feel you. I'm just the older I get, the more impatient I get too.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I hit you, you have about 3 to 5 minutes to respond before I hit you up and be like, all right, never mind, I'm good. And then it's the end of the conversation.
Damn, three to five minutes.
Three to five. Well, here's the thing though too. Most nowadays, everybody's on their phone.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have no excuse. If I'm watching your timeline, because this is what girls do, if I'm watching your timeline, you're like going off on Twitter, replying to this one, you talk about that, you shouting this one out, you retweeting that, and you can't reply to my text. Oh nah.
Yo,
I'm lighting you up.
I'm the king,
especially
of,
if your red receipts are on.
Hello.
I'm the king of not answering the text message but being on Twitter.
Are you?
And I dare you to say
so,
something.
That's so tacky. Why would you do that?
I got 52 on red text right now.
Why?
And my read receipts on.
You just popping, that's why.
Yeah, you live.
My phone is dry. I ain't got no. I got emails that listen,
I don't even got my phone on me right now. That's the crazy part.
Mostly rappers, and everybody wants something.
Mostly rappers, and everybody wants something.
We can get back to that.
It's so tough being you.
Such a hard life.
Damn, man. I didn't have a comeback for that. See, she first of all, there wasn't no, you said that she threw it back at the record. No, she threw it on the record, and Mac had to defend himself
for sure. Yeah. And I was a little nervous because at first I played it for my mother, and because my mom is my toughest critic. Like, if she doesn't like something, then I'm like, all right, I got to go back to the drawing board. Mm. But she listened to it. She was like, what is he saying in this one part?
About the long dick?
Yeah, baby. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, don't worry about it, Ma. Just fast forward through that part. It doesn't matter.
That's so awkward.
She was like, I never thought that would come out of his mouth. He's such a nice guy. I'm like, let's not do this.
Yeah.
Let's just leave that one.
You don't know Mac.
He's a little saucy. But it was literally, he's competitive, I'm competitive. Like, it just, it worked. The dynamic for the song absolutely worked.
And you just want me because it's June.
Yeah.
Who put you on the game? When did you figure that out?
I grew up in the city. When I was 17 and had like shorts on, that was the only time I would get gawked at and hollered at. What's weird is when I was in high school, when I hit puberty, I didn't even hit puberty. Puberty hit me, and like. It was hard because I was a tomboy, so I was always playing sports. I was always with the guys. As soon as I hit like 13, I was objectified. So I was like, well, shit, I can't kick it with the guys anymore. Like, they looking at me differently now. So I dressed like a boy. Like, I literally wore like men's Jerboe jeans and a big ass sweatshirt. Like, I dressed like a boy until I was 17.
That's dope. Those are all the girls that I liked in high school.
Like,
listen,
yeah, I wore pajamas in high school. Like, I was tacky jacky, but neither here nor there.
I did that too. I think that was a Long Island thing though.
No, that was a New York thing. The Old Navy that had the pajamas.
Yes.
Oh my God. Valentine's Day, we all have Valentine's Day pajamas. All my whole squad, we all matched.
It was also an excuse not to get dressed for
school. You know what I'm saying? And it went perfectly with the J's. Like, it just worked out. It worked out really well to do that in high school. But when I was 17, I kind of came into my own as a woman, and it was like, damn, like, if I didn't have short shorts on, you wouldn't talk to me. Like, you wouldn't even, most guys nowadays, it's like, if they can't see everything, if they don't think they have access to it, they won't even look twice at you.
Right.
Nothing is left up to the imagination. So that's why for me, this song, I was like, damn, like, if I didn't have a see-through shirt on, would you say anything to me? Have a nice day, beautiful. Would you tell me that if I had on a muumuu? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You probably wouldn't even look at me.
You put the sundress on, and it's always like, oh, have a nice day, beautiful.
Right.
And they got something else to say after that, too,
always. Listen, if I was walking around in scrubs and looked hit, you wouldn't tell me to have a nice day. You'd be like, good luck, bitch.
Real shit.
I'm going to pray for you one time. Like, all right, thanks.
So how often do you get hollered at now? Because I saw a tweet of yours the other day. You said you was riding the train all day, and I was a little shocked.
I take the train all the time. First of all, I'm not going to sit in and pay $50 in a cab to go 20 blocks. I just don't think that just doesn't make sense. And also, I'm impatient, so I'm also the train. I can go five stops on the train.
So you don't do traffic.
No, I don't like traffic. I mean, some things I have to go to in car service. I can't necessarily just take the train. But
she
if can't
go to the red carpet.
Yeah, I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm not going to show up to an event. And if I'm in heels and I got to dress up for something, I'm trying not to be on the train either. But in the summertime, the subway, I mean, the stench, the smells are just whack. And some people don't shower, some people do. You got all the body odor. I mean, you got people that, you know, if it's raining, it just.
That'd be the worst. When you be in the morning in the train or the bus in the morning and you smell, it's like it's the first thing in the morning. Like,
right. How you smell already.
Right.
It's like everybody holds the pole, and if you're at the wrong height and next to the wrong person, you write like armpits. Like, it's whack. It's so whack. I do take the train. I always take the train. I get recognized more so when I don't take the train, like, because people are paying attention. If a truck pulls up, people are watching to see who gets out the truck, and it's like, oh, I know that girl, she's on whatever. But if I'm on the train, like, I've been recognized on the train where it'll be like, you're that girl, and I'm just like, hey, and I'm like, okay, cool, have a nice day, bye, because everybody trying to go somewhere.
Yeah,
so one thing I love about New York is that nobody really bothers you like that unless you know unless you take a picture with one person, which has happened before. If I'm out with Mac and we out somewhere and I'm like, oh shit, somebody knows you, somebody in here knows you, it's over. One person takes a picture, then it becomes five people. Mm-hmm. Then if there's other people that don't know you and don't know who you are, but they see the five people taking a picture, they want a picture.
I'm gonna take the picture and figure it out later.
I'm gonna Google him and see
just
who it
to
is.
Have it.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It gets to be a lot. But I mean, overall, I get hollered at pretty often. That's in the street, crazy. Just without even.
Is that now?
I hear you.
Now here's the thing, like.
But it's when it's hot though, it doesn't make sense. That's the thing that just be bothering me, because I have like the please get the fuck away from me face. Like, not today. Hmm. Like, really not today. Not today, not now. If I'm on my way to the gym, it's I probably have like a. Fuck my life face. If I'm like in a rush, I'm in a hurt, like it's always I feel like I don't give off approachable when I'm in the street. I don't feel like I don't give that off, and that's always when a guy will say something to me or wave or like step in front of me and I got headphones on and they want my attention, so they just, you know.
That's crazy.
It's a lot. I guess it's
like,
a lot.
Maybe when I was 17, like, you would stop a girl on the street. After a while, I feel like you grow out of that.
Listen, it's New York. It happens all the
time. And God forbid is you walk by a construction site.
Oh, God. They act like they haven't seen a female in years.
But it's also like the law of averages, right? Because if you be like, hey, what's up, beautiful, to 100 women.
One is probably going to be,
you're
like,
gonna get that,
oh,
one.
Hey, right. Right. Good point. That's
so
good.
It might not even be like, you know what?
Shoot your shot. Yeah, everybody's right. Everybody's out here shooting their shot. And yeah. Summertime is like, everybody's bold. Like, what's the worst that's gonna happen to you? No one's ever really disrespectful. It's just like, right. It just, I don't know, the hissing. I still get hissed at. Right. People still do that. I was in shock. I got hissed at the other day, and I just turned around like, really?
Wait, y'all still do that?
In 2015? Y'all still...
I've gotten a hey man. I turned around like, not even to acknowledge them, but I was like,
was it camera?
It was with like a stank face, kind of like, did you just hey mommy? Like, we are not in 2004 right. Or something.
Yeah,
like,
unless it was one of the diff set. Like.
Right. If you ain't Jewels, I ain't right. Got it for you.
Summer 17.
Funny to me.
What else is on this project now? You work with the interns, right?
I did. I work with the interns on a song called Run After You, which actually is one of my favorites to perform, because when we perform it, we do like a cool little mashup of songs. And it took us a while to put the set list together, because I'm actually doing a little brief little run of tour. I'm doing a DC show Saturday, Philly on Sunday, Toronto on Tuesday, and New York on Thursday. Mm. So it's a whole East Coast kind of run of shows. And
I know where I'm gonna be at Thursday.
Yeah. The set list was really hard to put together, because it was like, well, you know, I want to do all the new stuff. I have like an hour long set. I've never performed for an hour straight, never. So I'm like, okay, let's do stuff, a couple things from the older EPs. We'll throw in a couple cover songs. We'll do some fun, you know, current day stuff. But the interns were really, they were a lot of fun. I've actually done a couple records with them. We have a couple songs that we did for the album as well. Mm. Swagger Celius, who's a part of MBK, did a record. He did My Kind of Life with me. Jordan Bratton, a young boy from Long Island, did Act Like That. He produced Act Like That. So, I mean, I really wanted to like go a little off the beaten track with some of these songs, just and work with people that I know would kind of give me musically what I needed. My boy Cass, we recorded Head Over Heels in his house in Brooklyn. So it was like, we just did, you know, we put together whatever we could organically that, you know, felt sexy and fun and kind of summery.
That's dope. Man. Yeah. I like you, because, Bridget, what you see is what you get. Like,
always.
Like, it ain't no front end. It ain't like nothing extra that you put on it. Like, you're just dope.
Thanks.
And you take the train. And
you're very straightforward,
you're still dope.
Too.
Yeah,
it's very like...
No bullshit.
You know what's crazy, though? I used to get criticized for that all the time. Oh, yeah. In the very beginning, when I first started, got signed, it was like, oh, my God, you have to adjust your attitude. People are not going to respond to this. And I was like, you know, having a hard time, like, okay, well, let me just smile and be nice, and then we'll perform our sad songs and leave. Like, I felt like I really had to tone myself, like, scale back, tone myself down, and kind of... not necessarily dumb it down, but really try to be a little more politically correct and make people feel comfortable. And, you know, now there are moments for me where, especially in my music, I thrive on making people a little uncomfortable, like, right. Or at least make them question kind of, well, damn. I always said that I wanted to make music that women could relate to that may not even want to say out loud, like secretly relate to. Those are the fans I want. Those are the fans that I want. The ones, the women that are at home like, shit, I absolutely went through this, but I can't play this for my man because he can't know right. This is where I'm coming from. Like, those are the women that I want to reach with the music. So I think now it's like I've really, leaving, I was a part of a major label for a long time, and it was probably the most exciting time of my life. But I will say that I really had to learn myself, and I learned more about myself in the last like 13, 14 months of not being on a label than I think I did in 6 years of being with one. So,
do you feel like you're also more in creative control of your music now that you're independent and you kind of have, you know, the say to go a certain direction with your music?
Absolutely. I think, you know, being a part of any label, it just, there's always a catch. You know what I mean? There's always, they never ask you to, well, I don't know about every label. I can only speak for the guys I worked with. But, you know, I was never expected to compromise my personal integrity or my creative integrity. But I definitely know we used to clash where vision was concerned with what I wanted my music to sound like. And, you know, at the time, I really wasn't sure who I wanted to be. I think the first EP project I put out was really the most in the solid direction of where I wanted to go. And it was a little alternative, it was a little left, it was a little eclectic. And I knew that when I put it out, it was a little before its time. I think if it's the kind of project that if I put it out now, the response would be like, oh my God, in love. But at the time, it was like, you know, we were coming off of the whole Frank Ocean song wave, and that whole situation threw a complete wrench in the execution of my project in general. Which, you know, it took a lot of the wind out of my sails for sure. You know, and it you know, we had to go back to the drawing board a little bit and try and figure out what else was next. But I think the most important part of an artist's process is the experimentation. They got to be allowed to experiment. If they don't experiment, then they don't know what works. You have to be able to you know, risk a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think I was a little scared though too. I really didn't know my ass from my elbow at the time. Like, I just was really just happy to be there. I'm just happy to be in this room, guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks for inviting me. Like, it was that kind of vibe.
Well, the first time I seen you perform was at Madison Square Garden.
That was my first show.
That was your
as
first
a
show
signed
ever.
Artist. Wow. Was Madison Square Garden.
Damn.
So this was had That's to be huge. September 11th. Mm-hmm. It was 2009.
Yep.
You remember the day because it was the anniversary of 9/11, and that was the day Jay-Z dropped the Blueprint 3. Mm-hmm. And we all went to the Garden because it's Hove and the Garden, and if you're from New York, that's where your ass
that's
is at.
You needed to be. There was no better place to be that night.
And he did a song, Empire State of Mind, mm-hmm. and Bridget came out. And it was like, you know, I think at first everybody was like, oh, is Alicia coming? You know, that's the first thing that you look
of
for.
Of course. Well, everybody then, else was in the building. Right. So it was, you know, B came out, Rihanna came out, Kanye, Cudi, Pharrell, Swiss. He had everybody in the building. Right. Everybody was in the building. And, you know, for me, I thought it was going to be like a, when I first got called, I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to be singing background for Alicia Keys. Like, I'm going to be lit. I'm thinking it's going to be a whole different situation. And I get to rehearsal and they're like, okay, so this is your mic. Here are the words. Just get up there and sing. And I was like, okay, well, when is Alicia coming? Like, when is she going to get here? They were like, she's not coming. This is all you. This is your moment. You got to figure it out. When I tell you I went to the bathroom, my hands were shaking. I went to the bathroom and just cried. I was like, I don't even know what to say. But that was my very, very first show. And nobody thought that it was going to spiral into what it became. Like, no one thought it was going to, that was the beginning of anything. Not right. even me. I had a job. I was managing a Pilates studio. Mm. So I went and did Madison Square Garden on Friday night, and I went to open the garden, I mean, the Pilates spot on Saturday morning. Like, it was that kind of thing. I went back to work on Monday, too. Like, everything was normal.
Right.
And was showing everybody on YouTube, and everyone's looking at me like, why are you here? Why are you still here?
I was about to ask, how long after that did you quit that job?
2 days. Because Jay called me the next day while I was at work and was like, yo, I need you in London tonight. I was like, hey, I'm at work. I have a job. I can't leave. Right. Can I call you back? He was like, no, nigga, go get your passport. We out. I was like, okay, all right. I went back in. I was like, Jay. So he was like, nah, nigga, get your passport. We out. And I was like, okay, I got to go. So I quit my job that day. And we ended up going to London. And then London turned into, okay, we got to do a national tour. And then it was like, okay, well, let's do a tour abroad. And then we'll do another national tour. Like, it kept going. I was on tour for a year. It was amazing.
Wow. I'd imagine. I don't know if I ever told you this story, Chris. Emil from Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember Emil. She was on Can I Get Her?
Absolutely.
Used to be my supervisor back when I worked at Delia's.
No.
Answering phones. So she probably got a similar phone call from Jay. Like, come
wow.
on, we got this record
like,
to do.
We
got to
go.
I wonder how many people Jay made quit their jobs.
Right.
I'm telling
Listen,
you.
Listen, Hov, 917. Was nah, somebody made me quit my job, man.
516.
Yes, right. Please, somebody.
Nah, that's dope. So, I mean, how the decision to... you're not with Roc Nation anymore.
No.
You're independent. Was that by choice? Did they give you the boot? Like, how did that transpire?
It was definitely by choice. Well, I think the decision was, it was a build up to the decision, but I think they knew that I was frustrated and they knew that I wanted out. And I mean, honestly, I was petrified because I was like, nobody historically has ever left The Rock and been okay, like, and made it after that or been like really been that right. successful. They've had their moment and then right. it's kind of like they kind of trickle off and then you don't hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
But also the relationships aren't really in like as intact. And so I was scared that like, damn, we about to have this divorce conversation. Like, are we still going to be cool after? And, you know, we put my EP Cut to Bridget Kelly out in December. And it was the whole way that it came about was just, it felt so sloppy on my team's part, on the label side of things. Nobody really knew what they wanted to do with it, so it just kind of felt like it got thrown out there. And so come January, I was at a point where I was like, look, either we're gonna move, like it's either get shit or get off the pot. Like, we either need to move and we need to figure out what we're gonna do now, or like I want out. Like, I don't really want to be a part of it. And, you know, I went and had a conversation with Tata, who Tata to this day is probably the realest person I have ever met. The most honest, the most respectful. And, you know, he's like, look, I'm like whatever, we're on the same page. Like, we don't really know what to do right now. And you want to do something different and we don't want to hold you back. Like, we all love you. We all fuck with you. We don't want you to be anywhere you're not happy.
Yeah.
Like, that's ultimately what it comes down to. And it was an amicable parting.
That's
like
dope.
it was really incredible. You know what I mean? And I've known those guys since I was like 20 years old. So it's like, to still kind of have their support, you know what I mean, and still be, you know, still get invited to things and get hit up. Tata checks on me from time to time. Everybody's still really, it's still all love a year and change later. So
that's dope.
I feel blessed to have that.
We definitely, being in the music business, you hear the horror stories of having to leave a label. And, you know, the thing about Rockefeller or Rock Nation or just anything that Jay was involved, you don't hear too many people that leave and there's not too much negative to say, so it always seems like pretty good vibes. So
I always find it's the opposite. I feel like people that end up leaving, it's always like, damn, you didn't look out, or I don't know. I feel like it's
you're in the storm.
There's a stigma attached to leaving a label that makes it feel like, damn, like you got dumped. You know what I mean? And there the industry kind of views you that way. Because I remember going through a couple months of feeling like, well, shit, if I show up at this event, am I going to get looked at crazy? Like, yo, that's the girl that her name, she ain't with Rock Nation. Is she cool enough to be here? Like, I anticipated that was going to be the response. And because nobody at The Rock treated me that way, nobody else treated me that way.
That's dope.
Which to me was really important, because it was like, yo, at the end of the day, time will tell if people really support you and they really want you. They want to see you win. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like even me leaving Rock Nation, they still wanted to see me win. They still wanted to show love and show support, even if it wasn't with them. They still want to see me be okay. So
that's love.
That's what's up. Nah, we want to see you win. Like, you know, summer 17. We talked about this in the room coming in. I was like, man, Bridget, you pump fake me. Like,
I did a little.
She did hit me in the DM.
Because I was like, trying
this EP's coming.
This EP is really coming. I was finished. Let me be clear. I was finished with the EP by the end of June. I was done. But Act Like That, I was like, yo, I didn't know where to go with it. That was the only record I really struggled with. And, you know, Mac is a good friend of mine. So I was like, listen, what do you think about this record? Because no one knows, like, it feels incomplete. We don't know where to go with it. And he was like, yo, this shit is great. This is the best. This is what you need to lead with. And I was like, okay, cool. He was like, I'm like, what's missing? He's like, I don't know. I was like, all right, get on it then. Just fucking go to the studio. We'll go to the studio and get on it, and we'll finish it and we'll figure it out. So that was the last record that we did that came together. And I was like, it felt so right. I'm like, yo, we got to go with this first. We absolutely got to go with this first.
That's so super dope.
I'm glad you guys did that.
I apologize for the pump fake.
It's all good.
I definitely crossed you over one time. Right. But I, listen, the initial plan was for me to have it out by June
23rd. She stepped over me too, like Iverson did to Tyrone Lou.
Oh,
you seen the,
no.
Yeah. She did the step over. It's all good though, but we here now.
We are.
And there's no hard feelings.
And I told you I was going to come by. People
she absolutely
believe.
Did.
People see that's the
I
thing.
Believe you.
Artists be making those like empty promises, like, yeah, I'm going to come by.
No, but Rob definitely told me, he's like, you know, it's just a matter of time and when.
Yes.
But.
Because, you know, I just always got that vibe from you. Just like, you know, you about
I'm also
you say.
A regular person.
Yeah.
Which kind of works against me sometimes. But I think as an artist now, like, it's starting to pay off. Being nice and being myself everywhere I go is really starting to pay off.
In this day and age, like, and I really feel like that, one, the directness that you have and the being a real person, like, more people relate to you. Like, we had Ryan Leslie up here a couple of weeks ago, and he's on another level because he's just a genius. He graduated Harvard at 19. But the dude gives out his phone number on Twitter and is like, text me. Mm-hmm. And all his fans have his phone number. And it's like, first of all, your bill must be fucking retarded. Insane.
Right.
But I admire that.
But I'm sure he has a system for that too.
So. Ron Workman got 52 unread text messages. Right. And he don't got his number on Twitter. So
I hope
he
got unlimited texting.
I could not.
Imagine if all your fans would had access to you like that. Man.
I might answer to the fans, like people who actually like.
You probably wouldn't even see my messages.
Yeah.
Damn.
I wouldn't.
Well.
But you know, fans and supporters, like they, you know.
I think people forget that sometimes, that connections are one of the most important things. Mm-hmm. You know, to have a connection with the fans, you become a superstar and you become an icon and a really great artist, and that's fine. But don't forget that you had the fans from day one there supporting you, buying your music, talking about you, and you're at the end of the day a human being. You know, we're all humans.
Yeah, it depends. It depends too, though, on the kind of vibe you put out from the very beginning. Right. I think I've always been a really approachable person, an approachable artist, so I don't feel like I ever gave off an air of like of an air of superiority, and I feel like I can't talk to you because like I'm at the end of the day I am a regular girl, and I started out as a fan, which to me is really the most important thing to remember too. Before you're an artist, you're a fan mm-hmm. you're inspired by somebody else to create something, you're inspired to inspire, so it's like mm-hmm. that's what you know, as an artist, in order to remember that daily, I have to talk to fans. I have to know what fans are thinking or what they're saying or what they're feeling or what works, what doesn't work. It's like, it's always a conversation. Music itself is a conversation.
Who are your mm-hmm. biggest influences and inspirations?
Early on, I listened to a lot of like old Motown stuff and like folky music, because my mom is Irish and my dad was from the Bahamas. So my dad played a lot of like Otis Redding and Donnie Hathaway and, you know, Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye. So that there was that. And then my mom is, you know, playing Bob Dylan and Simon and Garfunkel.
Right.
So it was like Bob
Dylan.
My mother loves, but she's obsessed with Bob Dylan. So there was always a lot of stuff for me that lyrically was challenging. I always liked to listen to what people said. I always loved the message in the music. And I felt like with, you know, Marvin Gaye, he was very socially conscious and socially and politically conscious. And Bob Dylan was the same way. It's like everyone wrote with a purpose, and I always felt like if I'm gonna make music, it's gotta be for a purpose. I don't just wanna sing a song for the sake of singing a song.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to a lot of old stuff growing up, and then when I started to really listen to music, I was listening to R&B. So it was like, you know, I listened to a lot of Brandy, a lot of Monica, a lot of Toni Braxton, a lot of, who else was I listening to at that age that I was like drawn to? Mariah Carey was a big one for me too, because again, lyrically, she was writing words that you would never think to hear in a song.
Right.
She had a line that she was like, you know, emblazoned in my mind. Who says emblazoned? Like on a regular day, like you're sitting in the booth, like, oh my God, this is emblazoned. Like, nah, it was out of the box. I always listened to lyrics. Alanis Morissette and Lauryn Hill were really big for me too. Right. Fiona Apple. I felt like women for the most part that really had
a lot of women
that were fearless. But that also had a voice. Alicia Keys, Pink, they were big for me also.
Like Erykah Badu?
I loved Erykah Badu. Mm. Baduism to this day is one of my favorite albums, beginning to end.
We were just talking about, we just had a, you want to give Bridget the question? Tyrese posed the question on Instagram and said, if you could take three albums that you can listen to for the rest of your life,
which three would it be?
And Chris picked, we were talking about this earlier, and Chris picked Baduism as one of them.
And of course, Brandy by Brandy, because Brandy's one of my favorite artists ever.
Full Moon Brandy is on that list for me. Full Moon was my favorite album in high school, hands down. If I had to pick three, it'd probably be Full Moon, it'd be Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and honestly, John Mayer Continuum.
Wow.
That's one of my favorite albums.
Curveball. Did you see that one coming?
Yeah, John Mayer.
I didn't see that one coming.
That I could listen to beginning to end through, like at any point in time, any time of the day. Those are my three.
Yeah.
That's my three.
I had picked Biggie, Life After Death, because it's two CDs for the price of one.
I'm from Brooklyn. You're a hip-hop head, Rob. We know.
Michael Jackson, Off the Wall.
Okay.
And Mary J. Blige, My Life.
Yes.
So
that's a good one too.
My Life or Miseducation.
Don't go ahead.
Which one would you choose?
Well, she just chose Miseducation.
Yeah, but we didn't ask her to compare to my life.
You can't compare to my life, though.
Exactly.
See? He was ready to count her out on that.
Yeah, if I had to choose between Miseducation and my life, honestly. But see, it also depends on who you are. When I was...
La-dee-da.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you heard that? Oh, you felt that?
Yeah, my life. I gotta say my life out of the two.
Yes.
Damn. My life wins.
Bridget, that's why we're friends.
Can't win all these battles.
I mean, you know, beginning to end, Miseducation. But if I had to choose, Mary's gonna win every time. Mm-hmm. Mary's gonna win every time.
Yeah, so we don't need no hateration up in here, Chris.
Definitely. Hey, man. Okay. Listen, I never hate.
Real quick, so I'm going to your show.
You better come to the show
in New York.
If I don't see both of y'all at the show, it might be beef.
I'll be there.
Don't make me create.
First of all, I don't want it.
Wait, where are you from?
I'm from like 20 blocks north of here. Yeah.
originally,
born and raised. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got a little Brooklyn in you.
I get that all the time.
Well, her initials are BK.
My initials are BK,
saying.
And I spent a lot of time in Brooklyn. Right. I never hung out. I mean, I grew up in Chelsea. It's like Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys is from Hell's Kitchen. She was was in Harlem. I spent all my time in Brooklyn and the Bronx. I was
yeah,
never.
You got a little Brooklyn swag in you.
I was never in the city. I was always in Flatbush getting into trouble. So.
Oh, see? From Flatbush.
Yeah. I had a boo out there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had
a yardie. Yeah, you had a yardie.
And then I had a little dope boy Dominican boyfriend from the Bronx. Ooh. Like, we bounce back and forth. Yeah.
Crazy. Do you still sing Thinking About You? Is that still part of your set? No?
It's sour grapes. I can't even front. I just, the way that the whole situation, because you know I had not seen him or talked to him at all after
Well,
that
nobody
situation.
Has. I mean, where's this guy
I mean,
at?
He's still, nah, he's no. still performing overseas yeah. and stuff. Like, he's still around. Right. But no, I hadn't seen him at all post that whole situation. I just
talking about Frank Ocean for those of you that don't.
Which I was a little disappointed about. I kind of hoped that he would have, you know, bossed up a little bit and called me and been like, yo, my bad. But. Right. This is what it is.
So, I mean, he wrote the record. You guys had some type of agreement.
Yeah, we had we did a writing camp. Rock Nation put on a writing camp, and that was the first record that we did. That was like the song. Like, everybody immediately was in love with it. It was like, yo, we're leading the album with this record. So we finished off the week. He came in, he did the record with my producer, Shay Taylor. We literally spent the week doing every other song centered around that vibe, that energy, that lyrical content, all of it. It was really vibey. It was really abstract. And then when all that shit happened and he was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm going to keep it for myself. The reason that he gave people, which I didn't personally believe because I thought it was pompous and really whack, was that he thought initially when he came into the writing camp that he was writing stuff for either Rihanna or Beyonce. So when he found out that the record wasn't going to be for either one of them, he was like, nah, I'm taking it back then.
Boom.
Which was what I heard, but I chose not to believe that because I believed, you know what, you just really sentimental and attached to the record. It's a dope record and it probably has a lot of emotional value for you. So go... I went with that. I'm going to roll with that.
See, we talked about that also, like songwriting in R&B versus hip hop and how certain MCs that we consider the top MCs, it's not okay for them to have people write their rhymes. Obviously, considering the whole Drake and Meek thing.
Oh, I know. I follow Rob on Twitter.
But as an artist,
listen,
how do
I'm
you feel
passionate.
About it?
As an artist, honestly, I just think people are great at what they're great at. And I feel like you cannot take away from what someone is great at by pointing out what they may not be great at. That's how I feel as an artist. So it's like you can say whatever you want to say about, you know, Drake not, if that's true or not true, to me doesn't matter because he's still writing R&B records for R&B singers. And the stuff that he's saying in those songs is lyrically pretty great as far as I'm concerned. So as far as I'm concerned, he's still a great songwriter. I don't have any personal... feeling against anybody that doesn't write their own stuff. Most singers until recently weren't writing their own things. Whitney Houston never wrote her own music. Right. I mean, it was very rare back in the day. I mean, Babyface wrote almost all of those records for
Babyface
Toni Braxton.
Wrote every R&B record from 1993 to 97.
Legend right there.
You know what I'm saying? Like they did, that's that squad, that whole, I mean, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, the 90s producers and writers, everybody was writing and producing everything. So you can't, at the end of the day, people are good at what they're good at. Whitney Houston, Dolly Parton wrote I Will Always Love You. Nobody knows and or cares that Dolly Parton sang that song first. Whitney Houston came in, her voice was the weapon, and she bought it everybody. So I just feel like you just gotta live and let live. Every artist has what they're good at. But I do find that there's now a lot of writers that are coming out as artists, which I think is kind of cool.
Right. No, that's dope. I just want to clarify, so like, I'm a Drake fan. Like, Drake,
you have to be
on any given day is either
you're light skinned. You have to be a Drake fan. Everybody that's light skinned is
Wait a minute. What are we at right now?
No, we're good. Listen.
Took us a while to get that light skin joke out when it came out.
The light skin jokes usually come out in the first 5 minutes.
It's always me.
It's always you be the fire starter. I'm not mad at that.
But yeah, on any given day, out of these new, Jay is my favorite rapper, artist ever. But out of these new guys, it's either Drake or Kendrick. And on any given day, they could be one or two.
Agreed.
You know, depending on how I feel. So Drake to me is a top guy. And just as a fan, I was like, you know, oh, maybe he didn't write that, or maybe. So, you know, I was let down, and I definitely hold my top MCs to a certain standard. Will I stop listening to Drake records? Will I, when I'm in the club and running through the six with my woes come on, am I going to make a beeline to the bathroom? No.
Like, but these Drake records are still great. Was that like a dream killer, though, because you really are like, oh my God, Drake's the illest? Or was it were you just more disappointed that Meek Mill pointed it out? Like, in the midst of the petty beef, like.
I didn't care that Meek pointed out. It was that Drake to me was that good. I'm also a child. So, you know what I'm saying? I believe in superheroes, and you know, I still go
right there with you. We still go see
the Avengers and stuff like that. So I like my favorite artists. You know, they're almost like superheroes to me.
They are.
You know, and so it was like, oh shit, like somebody brought out the kryptonite on Superman. I don't know if he's gonna make it.
I was excited for the comebacks. I thought the comebacks were phenomenal. But of course, amazing. You know, I'm sad that it didn't turn out to be like a real rap battle.
Right.
Like it was like you threw one shot out there and then somebody came and dunked on you like six times. And you still trying to make a shot in the paint, and we all looking like, bruh, just shoot the ball, and you just traveling. So
I love that.
It just
something like that. Tyronn Lue just stepped over Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, just
again.
Stepped up.
Listen, but nah, yeah, it's all good because I agree with you. More than anything else, I love the sport of it. Like when two MCs go at it and you get these really great records.
It's just petty though now. Like it's not even like a dope.
I just think it was done wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like this could have been really great for hip hop and rap and everything. Yeah. You know, back in the days, you used to have so many battles and so many beefs and controversies. And
but it was like art. It was an artistic battle. Yes. Was it like
and
battle
they were
of,
raw.
Like
they
the,
were raw. This was like.
Listen, nobody else is coming with Ether in 2015, I tell you what.
Well, that was special, you know, listen.
I think had it been two different kind of artists, two different kind of MCs, it might have been, ill.
If we go back in the day, like, LL Cannabis, like, we look back at that, I was like, oh, that was great. It wasn't that great. Them LL records wasn't that. And LL supposedly won that battle, and LL records won all that. But, I digress. Bridget, man, I want to do something with you before we get out of here.
Okay.
Usually Chris does this segment, but I'm going to take it over this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We get people that hit us up and ask for relationship advice.
Oh.
So I think it's always fun to go through with our guests.
Oh,
This relationship advice.
I hate giving relationship advice. I feel like I give amazing advice and I never take my own advice.
That's
so
me too.
Terrible.
Listen,
well, see, you ain't.
I do. I feel like I be feeling like Ayanla sometimes. Like I'm like I got the Oprah. I got the Oprah words down.
Yo, I just found out her name isn't
Ayanla.
I can't do it.
It's not. Like what you said. It's not Ayanla.
No, but it's like she changed her name. Like her name was like Robin. I was
she
watching
changed
something.
Her name to Rob. Come
no,
on.
Her original name was like Robin, and then she changed her name.
Oh,
it
and she changed it to Ayanla. Yeah. Okay, well, you want to be a little different, Ayanla. Go for it.
I don't know why I was watching TV, and she was on TV the other day, and I saw that. And it was interesting to me.
That's kind of cool, though. It's different.
Yeah. But she looked like the name that I can't pronounce.
She does look like Ayanla.
Just say whatever, comes to your mind.
She looks like she smells really good. You know how like the old like older women smell really good, and the smell like lingers. You don't know what it's a combination of powder and perfume and lotion, and you don't know what the combo is, but it sticks with you for like 2 days.
Yeah,
that's what she be giving me, Ayanla.
Yeah, like good vibes.
All right, so relationship great advice. What do they want to know?
All right, check it out. And this is from a female.
Okay.
But this one was funny to me. My boyfriend and I just moved in together, and everything is great. But I realize how much weed he smokes.
Yikes.
I don't smoke and I didn't think I would mind. But now that we live together, I'm starting to realize that he's sparking up multiple times a day. I find roaches in every room and I don't want this to come between us, but I'm really starting to wonder if I could put up with this habit. Help. Bridget Kelly, fix my life.
Well, here's the thing. I have lived with two boyfriends in my past and I will never do it again for that exact reason.
Wow.
Well, no, it's more so because you're not finished growing yet. Like, for the most part, as adult people, the majority of couples, it's funny, we were just talking about this outside, move in together more so for convenience rather than for the, like, thinking about forever. You see what I
did there?
But, right. I think, I don't know. I think I'm a huge, huge advocate for communication. So I feel like if you can't have that conversation with your man, like, I didn't realize this was such so serious a habit. I didn't realize this was your thing. Can we designate an area for you in the crib where this is where you smoke 50, 11 times a day? Like, let that be your spot.
Right.
And I won't mess with you. I feel like that's how it needs to be. Like, when you live with someone in general, it's like having a roommate at the end of the day. Even if you are in a relationship, you got to be able to communicate what works in the community space. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, our bedroom is our bedroom. I'm not trying to find roaches in our bedroom. Our bedroom should never smell like weed. Like, there's just, no, it should smell like vanilla. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it shouldn't it shouldn't be smelling like, you know, somebody, like, you know, this is a like a rapper studio. It should smell fresh. So I feel like, you know, the conversation should just be really simple. It's like, you need to, you know, voice your expectations and make a request. Like, figure out exactly what it is you want. Obviously, you don't want the relationship to end. But don't wait too long either, because women, we do that a lot. Like, we let shit accumulate before we say something, and then it festers, and then it becomes a blow up, and then
it's
y'all,
too late.
And then it's too late.
He thought it was all good. Like, then he gets blindsided. He was like, I thought you liked the smell of weed.
Yeah. And she's like, nah, nigga, that's why I threw your shit out the window. It's like, yeah. Why did it have to go there? Why did it have to get so, like, zero to 100 so fast? So I think, listen, it's just a conversation. It's a simple conversation. But I always advise women not to move in with guys until you really know for sure that this is the person you want to be with, because it gets messy. Because then if it doesn't work out and y'all move out, and then it's, you know, he got to get his stuff and y'all got to get, or if it doesn't work out while y'all still in the lease and you got to break the lease, you got to pay money. So now you out of money and you out of love. Like, shit is just
New York problems.
That lease be real. You got to get out the lease. Yeah.
Breaking the lease is like,
oh my God. I would almost rather, but that's a moment of truth. Like, yo, should we just work this out?
like, listen.
Should we just figure this out one time?
We got 8 months on this lease. We're going to rock out.
I may just change my schedule around. Mm. Maybe I'll sublet a little bit. Like, we could do that. I'll go home for a minute. You go home for a minute. You figure this out. Like,
it does bind you together, though.
It does, but I think, I don't know, I think relationships are just, they're hard in general, so communication, you gotta be able to have a conversation, otherwise it's already over. Otherwise, you already passed the point of return.
That's very true. I agree.
Chris, anything?
First of all, whether you're smoking weed, cigarettes, that stench to have on you as a female is...
nasty.
Yeah, like, I know females that smoke...
gets all in your
heavily,
hair.
Heavily. But they always got their proper way of, concealing that smell. They got their little perfume, body spray, you know, whatever they got to do. But, I mean, I've been there. Like, I've dated somebody that was literally all they did. Like, if he had his little corner in the house where he had to go and smoke and I wouldn't bother him, I would never see him if that was the case.
Whoa.
But it's like that smell, and I think you got to say something before... like you said, it gets too deep and too far, and then it's like you're just angry about it. Mm-hmm. Because you can say something peacefully. You can bring up a conversation. You can weigh out the options and figure it out. But when you hold something in too long, you become angry about
and
it.
You resent them.
Then once you approach, it's nagging. Like nasty, and it's never going to work.
And then the issue gets changed, which happens all the time in relationships. Somebody ends up changing the base of the argument.
Uh-huh.
So the argument is now about the fact that you approached him wrong. That's what he's going to respond to.
Because
I get this that all the
classic
time.
Move.
I have a hard, listen, I have a tonality problem. So I need to say something in
no.
the moment. I'm serious. It's the worst.
Bridget,
and I get it
no.
from my mother. My mother is the same exact way. She says shit to me sometimes and I'm looking at her like, do you have any idea what the fuck that sounds like to me? Like, I know what you're trying to say, but like when I first cut my hair, I used to have a lot of hair. She was horrified. And so I came home and she was like, so when you style this now, it's supposed to do this, like at the top?
Wow.
I was like, you could just say you don't like it. You don't have to tell me that I look like a Muppet, like you're a Fraggle. Like, you could just say you don't like it. You know what I mean? So I think it's all about how you say things, and guys will be the first ones to be like, yeah, but you came at me crazy, so nigga, fuck out of here. Nobody cares about how I said it. Just know this is what I'm saying.
I just think it's so crazy. Like, we forget that at the end of the day, we were all born separately, and we were all born our own person. Like, I mean, he don't got to give up smoking. Like, at the end of the day, if he's, right. like, smoking, that's something he likes to do. You're either going to deal with it or you're going to walk away from the relationship or you're going to bring up the conversation and try to figure it out. Like,
I don't think it's enough to leave the relationship, though.
It depending on how heavily, because, I mean, people could literally, that lifestyle.
But how could you not know that before you move like in she with had somebody? To know, like, know you that. Had to know a little bit.
Multiple times a day.
Because if he's always high, it's like, well,
but you know what?
Also, depending on how frequently she visited, because if she just stay hung out, you know out what? In public, you're not smoking a joint or... You know what I mean? Out in public.
But was she not have been at his house though?
I'm gonna read between the lines though.
I don't know.
Sparking up multiple times a day. She probably witnessed the wake and bake.
Oh,
before he brushed his teeth. That probably threw it up. The wake and bake probably was like, oh my God, damn,
brother. I feel like those are things though that you need to know.
Can you brush your teeth
before
first?
You spark up and you grab your strap. That's what we do. the turn of events. Like, that's the turn of events in the morning. First thing.
She saw the wake and bake. That's what it was.
But you know what? Turned you have to know that kind of shit before you move in with somebody. Like, that type of stuff, I feel like.
Maybe
those
she moved in too early.
That's
what her mistake is, because you're right, Bridget. Like, absolutely right. If you've been depending on how long you've been dating this guy, you probably knew this beforehand. And if you didn't, then listen, you probably moved in too early.
Or maybe you didn't realize he was such a slob about it.
Maybe.
You thought that you could come into and maybe change.
Yeah, you gotta be a clean
and also
smoker.
I mean, you know,
we be trying to change people though. Women, yes, we be out here like, I can fix this, I can clean it. When I move in, when I live with him, it won't be like that. I'll clean
Press
it up.
She probably cleaned up when she was coming over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
right.
Like, probably kept the shit contained. Like,
now that
we be
they
doing
live
that
together
too.
He's
yeah,
like eh,
and
funny,
you can't
whatever.
Try to
gotcha,
change people.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah, he don't care now. He's comfortable. He's like, now I can show you the real me.
Right. Here I am.
That's what's up. Man, Bridget, man, I want to thank you for coming through, man.
Absolutely.
Like,
anytime.
You know, damn, this is dope.
Yeah. I'm so glad.
I'm so glad you came, because we have like this abundance of females coming on the show all of a sudden. In the beginning, it was all guys. I mean, I don't mind, you know. Yeah, the guys we've had on here are definitely dope.
Mac Wiles was first.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember
Rico
that.
Rico Love.
Yeah. Oh,
Velis.
Rico came.
Yeah, we have Velis. We have Salon Remy.
Eric Bellinger.
Yeah.
Eric Bellinger. And, you know.
So see that whole swarm of guys. And
I
then
know,
it was
they,
like.
Did they come with entourages, though? Mm-mm. I always feel like guys always travel with more people.
That's what I'm doing. You know, because over at MTV is mostly I do the hip-hop stuff over there. And it's great and it's amazing. I love this R&B podcast because there's no entourages.
They come alone.
Done.
They come alone.
It's so much
I love
easier.
It.
It's so much easier. Travel light, travel
maybe
far.
One person, you know, like you know, but for the most part, they come alone. So,
well,
it's intimate.
Thanks, guys.
It's
I
intimate.
Know. I'm very glad. This was fun. This is good. This is a
thank
good
you.
Vibe.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad
I got to be honest. The ticker, though, kind of it gives me a little anxiety. I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
I'm about to explode once that clock is 100.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like.
You're about to blow up.
I'm like, how many seconds do I have to say everything I need to say? Do I have 12 seconds?
This is Kelly being impatient.
Like, oh my God, the time is running out.
No, time never runs out.
What you should say, though, is tell them where they could buy Summer of 17.
So Summer of 17 is on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on SoundCloud if you feel like being cheap, which
I feel like you shouldn't be.
If you're in D.C. this Saturday, August 8th, there's a show going down at U Street Music Hall. Which is going to be phenomenal. I mean, and purposely I have local talent that's opening up for me. I went and did some scouting and wanted to put some new artists that are from each city on.
That's
so we got some opening acts in DC. Philly is Sunday, and then Toronto on Tuesday the 11th, and New York City SOBs on the 13th, which you guys are going to be front center at.
Yes,
absolutely.
We are. Oh, I'm excited for that.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I got a lot of special people coming out for that show.
Okay, well,
we're turning it into a jam session.
I'm just coming to see you. Like, it would be nice to come see my friend Bridget.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be sick. You're going to see some other people like, oh, shit, I didn't realize they were friends. It's going to be dope. It's going to be dope.
Featuring Jay-Z. We're still cool. We're still being Rock Nation. Still cool.
Right.
So I'm just joking.
PSA.
Don't. Because they're going to be mad then they buy the ticket. They're going to be mad at Rob. Bridget Kelly is coming.
They're
going
to be mad at Rob.
Yeah.
Let them be mad
it's
at Rob.
Be dope.
They're not going to be mad at me. Right. I didn't do it.
Nah. Summer 17 is out. Definitely on iTunes. Go support that. Listen, they say it takes 1,500 streams to equal one album sale. I'm not listening to it 1,500 times on Spotify, so I'm going
to
buy it.
No, you can buy it and then listen to it 1,500 times.
I might listen to it 1,000 times after I buy it. But 1,500, I didn't feel like, man, I want this to count. But
Play again.
Plus, Rob, don't talk music with people who don't show their receipts.
Yeah,
that's
my rule on Twitter.
I know, that's right.
You can't argue music with me, because people will argue about you all day about dissing. And what's the last thing you bought?
Right.
Tyrese. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. Shame.
That's the last
album
I bought. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn, what's the last album I bought?
And Stacey Barth, actually, too. Mm.
With the Future album.
I bought Future too.
I didn't buy the Future album.
You know what? That day had me. I bought so many albums. I think that morning I bought Eric Bellinger came out that same week.
Yeah, I bought Eric Bellinger.
So Eric Bellinger, Future. There was another one that came out.
Elijah Blake came out.
Elijah Blake. Too, yeah. Well, actually, Audrey's too. We both copped and listened to and spoke about just recently. So
yeah, I didn't. Mm. I didn't get into. I'm like embarrassed to say that I didn't buy Future's album, but I listened to a couple. Okay. I bought the songs.
You got a radio?
I liked.
You listen to High 97?
I do.
Then you heard the whole album.
I mean, I have Spotify, so I also listened to the album on Spotify and then bought the songs that I knew I wanted to hear.
Okay.
So, but otherwise, I didn't understand a lot of it. I was trying really hard to decipher what was being said. I told y'all in the beginning, I'm a lyrics person, right? So I listen to music that I can be like, yes. There's a couple songs that I'm like, yes, Future.
Yeah, if you're very a lyrics person, you might hold off on a few Future songs.
My favorite
album starts to make me feel like I either have a speech impediment or something's wrong with my ears. Mm. I don't want to feel like that.
My favorite part of Commas is that last verse and acting like I know what he's saying. Get it, fit it, but it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the fuck he's saying.
He doesn't either, though.
He's catchy.
I feel like
he's
doesn't either. He's when I watched, I watched one of the little documentary thing, and he says, like, yo, there's so much power in melody. Like, that's my gift. I hear melody. My melodies are catchy. And I'm like, oh my God, it's absolutely correct. The scales that he sings, like, everything that he, like, gets inspiration from is just, it's genius. And I think that's the
great
thing.
Yeah, the documentary he did with, Elliot Wilson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to Elliot.
That was a good one. I had to hear Elliot. I was like, yeah.
I need Elliot to do R&B crowns. Can we?
don't listen. I'm trying to listen.
I want Elliot to do
R&B. In case you didn't notice, I'm trying to carve out this R&B lane.
Okay.
Elliot's
so
the
Rob,
GOAT.
So Rob, you going to be?
We're going to do R&B
crown. Rob, you going to do the R&B crown?
Nah, I ain't mad if Elliot. There's enough room for everybody. We can leave
hip hop to Elliot. That's fine. We don't have to do
that. Oh, now she's trying to say you don't do hip hop.
She threw it out there. Elliot's so like. He's competitive, man. He's the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's light skinned.
You throw that out there, and he's like, R&B crown, I gotta have it.
You know what's crazy that I didn't know? I didn't know that Elliot was Ecuadorian.
Yes.
Me being Ecuadorian, I don't know too many.
Wait, he's not mixed?
He's mixed. He's Ecuadorian and black.
He is.
I was gonna say, he's mixed.
He's mixed.
See, I was all hyped. I thought he was just Ecuadorian. You know what? You guys just ruined my excitement for that.
It's hard to listen. It's hard to be even a little bit black. You can't really deny or like try to struggle my whole life. It's so rough. Being mixed is so hard. No, it's so hard.
It is.
My mom is so white, but everything, her mannerisms, her
Irish,
language.
Right?
Yeah, but she's rough, man. She's not, she doesn't give you like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Yeah. It's where the fuck is Bridget and why is she always fucking late? Upon the first meeting, like she has
sounds Irish to me.
She doesn't care at all. Yeah. Like it just comes across very harsh.
No censor.
No censor at all. So I mean, listen, more power to the mixed kids.
Yeah, I'm with you. I definitely had my mixed rant a couple of weeks ago.
You had a mixed rant?
Yeah.
He goes on his rants.
Go on my being mixed.
We made it. That's an offline conversation. The ticker. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we're running. I can stay here all night. Bridget is dope. She's the homie. Yeah. Bridget, okay. Summer 17 is on iTunes.
Make sure you go to iambridgetkelly.com for all the tour date stuff. We got some really cool Summer of 17 shirts. I purposely did a crop top for girls, but I feel like some of my little gay fans are going to do the crop tops too. More power to y'all.
Hey.
And then, you can get the tickets and stuff for the shows online. Everything is going to be updated. So updated on my website. So
great.
And I am Bridget Kelly at I am Bridget Kelly on Twitter and on Instagram. It's all the same. And it's Damn It BK on Snapchat. My Snapchat is so live.
I'm about to follow you, Mats.
Yeah, my Snapchat is retarded. I just go off. I go on rants on Snapchat.
Right.
That's where I get to rant.
That's what I'm going to follow you at. My Snapchat's, I do Snapchat wrong.
How do you do Snapchat wrong?
Because it's not instinctive. I don't run to Snapchat when something is happening.
Oh.
Like, I have to think about Snapchat to do it. And then I'll do, like, one a week, and it just doesn't work out like that. It's not what it was made for.
I have one, and I've never snapped. Yeah.
See, Snapchat is a setup for someone like me because I buy into the hype that, oh, my God, I can do whatever I want, and it's gone in 24 hours, so nobody will know.
Screen capture.
So, like, yesterday it was fantastic. It was lit. You know, I was doing all my release stuff. I'm excited. I'm running around. And then it's going to be gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you miss it, you miss it. It's like if that's you ain't paying thing. Attention and you miss it.
That's my thing. Like, I go to IG because it's like, man, if I'm doing something really dope, I want you to see that forever. I want to come back. I want to be reminded of that.
Oh, let's just flex for life.
Yeah, I like IG, yes. But Instagram and Twitter, that's my thing.
Where can they find you, Instagram and Twitter, Chris?
At Chris Lova, KrisLovaA.
Yeah.
Okay.
That should be your DJ name.
Yeah. Little do you know.
Oh.
And I'm at Rob Markman, RobMarkman on Twitter and Instagram.
Send all your hate mail.
Yeah, send all your hate mail.
If you have his number, don't bother texting him because he will leave you unread.
Yeah, I won't. No,
he'll respond to your tweets. I actually, you know what? That makes me feel really special knowing that you got people hitting you up on your direct line that cannot get in touch with you. And I get replies on Twitter.
I'll respond to you faster on Twitter than you're like, yo, I just texted you and you ain't hit me back, man. But I see you tweeting. Then hit me on Twitter. Like,
right.
Now, you know what I hate the worst shit on Twitter, though, is like, yo, I just texted you.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, I seen it. Fucking block your ass.
I do hate that.
Nah, but you know, how can you not respond when Bridget Kelly hits you up? Like, you respond.
Especially if it's early in the morning and he'll say something prophetic and I'm like, oh, fuck, Rob, you're
in
my head.
That never happens.
You really. Said something one morning and I was just like, preach, my nigga. You were like, it's 7 a.m. What's wrong with you? I was like, never mind. I just got way too deep too early. My bad.
That's crazy. Nah, that's dope. I'm glad I got help. But we're here. Okay, so. Bridget Kelly, man, summer 17, go cop that. I'm about to go cop it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until next week, we got another episode for y'all. We got a guest locked in. We're very excited about, but I'm not gonna tell you who it is.
Ooh.
Yeah. What? Just say it, Chris.
It's all right. She's dying to say it. Say it.
Nah, I was just, you know. Okay.
All right, yo. Shout out to the homies too at This Is R&B, man, for posting us every week. And you heard that new low key. And it's biscuit.com and Sway's Universe. So we showing us love and everybody that shows us love.
And shout out to Jake and Papa.
Yep. And we'll take you out with Jake and Papa Starless. Till next week, this is the Red Light Special. Peace. And that's the motherfucking truth.